Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. I would like to welcome each and every one of you to this episode of Infotainment. I do have a story here about Facebook and Big Brother Mark Zuckerberg. This is kind of a draconian measure, I think. Do you believe that employees should be paid on where they live? As far as the amount of their pay is, isn't that up to the employee and where they live? I mean, if you pay certain jobs a certain amount, if they live in a high expense area in California, why would you not pay someone who is doing the same job and does it well, no matter where he lives? And whether he works at home or not, I don't get that. I see, if this job pays a certain amount, I'd want to be paid that certain amount. If I wanted to live in San Jose or wherever, San Francisco, where they probably pay the most, this is just money-saving measure for Facebook. Basically, it's what it is. He bases the salary on what the living conditions are in the area you want to live, as far as the salaries that are paid out. Let me look up that story. Facebook employees may face pay cut if they move to cheaper areas to work from home. I mean, what's the difference if you're at the corporate headquarters doing the job, or you're doing the same job as well as you would have at Facebook creates its thing? Why would you do that? I mean, if somebody in California was making a lot more than I was, living in a cheaper area, I would say, fuck off. You know, because I don't believe it's the employer's right to say, well, gee, you live in a cheaper area, you should be paid less for doing the same work that someone at the headquarters of Facebook is. Mark Zuckerberg says he expects about half of Facebook's employees to work from home 5 to 10 years from now. Must be having an insight on COVID-20, which is probably on the horizon. But there's a catch for those expecting to take their fat Silicon Valley salaries and live like kings in a rural area. So you should have to spend a lot more money to live in Silicon Valley, which is driving a lot of middle-class folks out of that area because of those salaries. And here's another thing with the China virus. A lot of people are going to be moving out of these densely packed areas and moving to more rural areas just to try the best I can to avoid the next round of COVID-19. They might already be trying to move. And for the future, whenever COVID-20 gets released from somewhere, most likely China, Facebook chief executive laid out the company's future remote working plans during a video conference with employees Thursday. Zuckerberg said Facebook will aggressively ramp up the hiring of remote workers, though not all employees would be allowed to permanently work from home, at least at the start. I mean, if they're working from home and doing the same work, they should be allowed to get the same pay that they would have gotten even if they don't live in the expensive area of California. I mean, if they have to move eventually, if they can't work at home, that's another thing. But it's not the place for Zuckerberg to say what your salary is by the basis of where you live. And those who choose to work where the cost of living is less, you should expect to be paid less. That means if you live in a location where the cost of living is dramatically lower, or the cost of labor is lower, then salaries do tend to be somewhat lower in those places. Yeah, but you're offering a certain pay level. I mean, if you don't want to pay that amount of money to people doing the same job, then you should reduce it for all those people. I mean, if they're doing the same work and doing it well, Zuckerberg said on that. Facebook already pays based on location. Pay based on location. Isn't it supposed to be based on what the job is and what the level of difficulty it is and education? Seems weird. But Zuckerberg said employees working remotely must notify Facebook if they move to a new area before January 1st, 2021. We'll adjust salary to your location at that point. He said, noting it will be necessary to take taxes into account. There will be severe ramifications for people who are not honest about this. Yeah, right. That may put a crimp on the plans of some workers hoping to make their salaries go a lot further in cheaper areas, which they should be allowed to do. A recent survey of San Francisco Bay Area tech workers found 2/3 would consider moving away from the pricey area if they could work remotely. It makes no sense paying Bay Area rent if we can earn our salary living elsewhere, one startup employee told Bloomberg News. As of 2018, the median employee compensation at Facebook was more than $240,000 a year. The median home price in Menlo Park, California, where the giant has its headquarters, is $2.4 million. While the median home price in the wider Bay Area was $928,000 last year. Unbelievable. I did not know exactly where their headquarters were located. It's Menlo Park, California. Smuckerberg said that in a company survey of the people who said they would want to work remotely full-time, about 45% were pretty confident that they would move to another place if they had that opportunity, with an additional 30% saying they might move. About 60% of the total said they'd prefer to move to a smaller town or city. Yeah, with COVID, I can see that happening a lot. Ultimately, Zuckerberg said the changes will help Facebook become more diverse in its workforce. Oh, yes, tagging this as diversity. Yeah, that's how he's soft-pedaling that. When you limit hiring to people who live in a smaller number of big cities or are willing to move there, that cuts a lot of people out who live in different communities, different backgrounds, or may have different perspectives, he said. Certainly being able to recruit more broadly across the U.S. and Canada to start is going to open up a lot of new talent that previously wouldn't have considered moving to a big city. Well, yeah, but you're paying people pretty much the same salary across the board for certain jobs, aren't you? Approximately, well, based on where they live. But, I mean, wouldn't it be better just to set the salary at a certain level for certain jobs, and no matter where you live, and you do the same job, and you do it well remotely? You can offer the remote thing to most everybody, I would assume. About 95% of Facebook's employees are currently working from home due to coronavirus stay-at-home orders. The company has previously said workers will be able to work from home at least through the end of the year. Yeah, that just strikes me wrong. I don't believe he should restrict pay just because you work remotely, say, in a city like Granby, Missouri, where I used to live. As long as you have a high enough internet speed and all that, and things work out getting your stuff to Facebook, you should be paid what somebody else is making in that area of your work. But I guess he can do it. So, I don't know. I mean, if somebody in wherever they live in a rural area has enough qualifications to do the job and finds out that somebody doing the exact same thing in California getting paid a lot more, I'd say, hey, I'm doing the same exact thing for a lot less pay. I'm not doing this anymore. Fuck you. This story just kind of made me mad. It goes to the bigger question that some of the billionaires have been asked. Should there even be billionaires? Okay, well, I think we will move on to another topic for your consideration. I was going to move on from this topic, but something else came up about it, and I'm going to talk a little bit about my own feelings on it. It never would occur to me to ask people why they spend their money or why they don't spend their money, where they spend their money, anything about their money. I believe it's their own damn business. I tell you what, you know, if somebody were to ask me that now, I would say, you scrape together as much money as you can, give it to me, and you can watch me spend it. That's like Mark Cuban, Mr. Shark Tank, getting involved or tweeting about the stimulus package that might be passed eventually if the Republicans get their head out of there. But he says, well, people should spend their stimulus or lose it in a certain amount of time. Is it any of your business how people use a stimulus check? You're a host, you own a sports franchise and work on Shark Tank. I tell you what, Mark Cuban, you give me all the money you can and you can watch me spend it in a certain amount of time. And maybe it's time for these billionaires and millionaires who want to have a say in the stimulus package, the next one if there is one. Maybe it's time to pony up some of your money for stimulus. How much can each of you give to every American to take the ease off our U.S. Economic burden? Because three or four people have more money than how many millions of Americans? It just fathoms me that people would stick their nose in other people's finances. I think it's rude and offensive myself. It's like if these guys want any say in this stimulus package, it's time for them to roll out some dough for the Americans. I don't care if it's $1,000 per person. I mean, I'd love to get a stimulus check from Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett. He can dust off the cobwebs on his billfold. I know he his wife holds the purse strings. But, or Bill Gates, you know, you can, I'm on the census. You can, I have direct deposit. You can all pony up some money for, the stimulus bill. Make it a lot larger for people. If you want to say in it and in the power of, having influence over our government and how they spend the money, pony up, some of your billions. For that, it would help everybody. It would help employees from big business too, because they would be getting a check that work for big business, and make sure that the money meant for small businesses actually gets to them this time. Well, it is time to move on. This next story is very creepy and scary. It is from a couple of years ago, but I had never seen it before. It is a man's body was found inside a woman's bathroom wall in a mall. Yes, very creepy. And in what sounds like inspiration for a horror movie script, a man was found dead inside a woman's bathroom wall in a mall on Monday. The body was discovered at the Core Shopping Center in downtown Calgary, Alberta. The man was believed to be in his 20s, according to the police. In a news release on Wednesday, police said they believe the man entered the bathroom by himself on Friday evening. According to the evidence, they say the man climbed into a vent behind the toilets. Cops were called to the scene at 9:30 a.m. on Monday. At the time of the discovery of the body, must have been the smell that gave it away. Women were probably going, oh, geez, I shouldn't have had that burrito. Staff had been doing maintenance in the bathroom. The local fire department removed the body from the wall. Once inside the bathroom, it is believed that he climbed on top of the pony wall that was directly behind the toilets and removed a vent cover, which was located on top of the wall, Calgary police said. So why would a man be climbing into a vent in a woman's bathroom? His motivation is unknown at this time. Well, I can clear that up. He was going to peep on the women, according to police, but foul play is not suspected. As the victim's death is considered accidental, no further information can be released, police said. Very creepy, and luckily he didn't last long. That had to been a horrible death. There was a very creepy movie on Netflix. I don't know if it's still there, but it was called El Machina or something like that, and where a guy developed the perfect android woman, and he invited one really gifted student to help work with him at his super secret lab, and the ending result was not good because the android eventually killed its maker and left this student inside a room where he had no way of getting out. inside this house did not end on a high note. But if you like really creepy movies, you might try that. Let's see, Scarlett Johansson, she's been in some really creepy movies too, where she's played aliens. But that must have been horrible to like suffocate in a wall or whatever happened exactly. Don't try this at your local woman's restroom. In these troubled times of a pandemic and riots and destruction over Floyd's death in Minneapolis by one creep cop who, I believe, intentionally, he didn't think he was going to die, or he knew he was going to die. He knew that people were taking videos of him. There was no need to stay on his neck that long. But I would say to the rioters and protesters, do you think burning buildings and vehicles and looting stores that you probably use in your neighborhood is the best way to improve relationships with the police departments? And also, by the way, I do believe that most of these riots in the major cities are just going to spread the coronavirus even more. And also the bar, Table Rock Lake in the Ozarks, that had the pool party. One person has already tested positive for it, and no telling how many people he infected, he or she. They don't give out very much information. So they can contact trace, I guess. And we've now jumped up to 3 deaths in our county. So one person in their 30s. And a president who thinks it's the most important thing to do is to come down on Twitter and Facebook because they put a fact disclaimer on his tweets. At least some of them regarding Joe Scarborough and an incident that took place 19 years ago where a woman who worked for him had an unknown heart condition and because of that fell and hit her head and passed on. And Trump is insinuating that the reporter Joe Scarborough, or news anchor or whatever he was at the time, had something, that there was foul play in it, prompting the husband to write an impassioned letter to the president of Twitter, CEO, about removing the tweets because Scarborough had been cleared of any wrongdoing. And I don't know, any way he can deflect problems from himself, he will take. I listened to an interview with Howard Stern on the Bill Maher program. I forget exactly what it's called, but I think it's on HBO. And he asked him, do you think Trump enjoys being president? And Stern goes, no, because he's like in his 70s and doesn't really need the headaches. And he's interviewed him several times. He said he's always called him Mr. Trump because that opened him up a little bit. And that's what I've said a while back, that flattery will get you more with the president than anything else. Yeah, that's the most important thing you could have been doing yesterday, this past week, taking on Twitter and Facebook. I don't know if there's any good speechwriters with the president or any good people up there anymore that advise him. When he thinks he can do it all himself. Maybe writing a speech about calming the nation down. It just makes me mad. I don't know. Makes me mad, but that's all I'll say about that.
Why so serious?
Well, I'll tell you why I'm so serious. I do have another story of what's behind wall number three. Wall number two, I guess it would be called. This man's alarm clock inside a living room wall has been ringing for 13 years. It goes off once a night, every night, forever. A family in Ross Township, Pennsylvania, has been living with an alarm clock routinely ringing inside a wall in their home since 2004. CBS Pittsburgh reports they've been patiently waiting for the clock's battery to run down ever since Janet Jackson's boob was mainstream news. But so far, it's still going strong. A guy named Jerry Lynn is responsible for said clock getting stuck behind said wall, and he and his wife have been living with its incessantly beeping mistake ever since. Lynn explained to CBS on Thursday that he dropped the alarm clock. Let me pronounce that L more. Clock down through a second story air vent, tied to a string, hoping that its sound would help him figure out where to drill a hole for his TV cable. It seemed like a simple enough plan. Lynn set the clock to go off 10 minutes later, so he would have time to head downstairs and listen for the beep behind his living room wall. Unfortunately, Lynn's household ingenuity didn't extend to knot tying. The clock slipped from its harness and fell into the wall's abyss. All of a sudden, I heard it go thunk. As the clock came loose, Lynn told CBS, I thought, well, that's not a real problem. It's still going to go off, and it did. And it continued to go off every evening inside his... Let me try that again. Inside his living room wall forever. Lynn figured that in maybe 3 or 4 months, it will run out of battery, but the clock lived on. That was in September of 2004. It is still going off every day during daylight saving time. It goes off at 10 minutes until 8, and during standard time, it goes off at 10 minutes to 7 at night. It's not clear what brand of alarm clock is trapped inside the wall, unfortunately, since the clock's 13-year battery life would make a great ad campaign for Toshiba or whatever. Lynn could have probably cut into the drywall and taken care of the nuisance long ago, but he and his wife have apparently come to terms with their sometimes beeping home. Homeowners have been known to deal with worse. Well, that mall sure did was finding a dead body inside the woman's restroom wall. Oh, jeez. Inside these walls. But now I think it's time to close up shop here. Now I think it is time to warp drive this podcast to the interwebs. You can check out my Facebook page. You can tweet my Twitters. At Randy Podcaster. You can email me a comment at randyms12@gmail.com. Question or concern about this show? Tell me you like it, dislike it, hate it, whatever. But if it is good and say an under 10 minute read, I might read it over the air. But as always, have a pleasant day today and a happy ending tonight.